Okay. 2 Timothy 2:14 to 26. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. You're welcome.
Thanks indeed. These instructions that we've just read from Paul are for Timothy. If he is going to be a God-approved worker, not ashamed before God, he's to be like this. But of course, it's not just for Timothy. For all gospel workers should be like this, all pastors. And not only gospel workers, but us as well. You see, our pastors, point at Craig here, are chosen in large part because they are good examples of what all Christians should be. Craig and Amanda are not a different breed to the rest of us, although sometimes you might wonder. What's more, your words and actions and mine, even as Christians who believe in the Lord Jesus and who will be welcomed into heaven, we're going to be judged by God. What we say and do matters to God and must matter to us. So let's listen well. Let me go through these instructions. You've got them there. Please, I'd really like you to keep an eye on them as we go through, because you'll need them at the end as well. The first of these instructions, what words, are reminding words. Keep reminding God's people of these things, Paul says in verse 14. What things? The things he's just been talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus as King of the world, of heaven and hell. He's been talking about these massively significant things. Now, we know them, but we are forgetful people. It's not that we'll forget that Jesus actually died on the cross. We won't forget that, but we might forget its significance. It's not really likely that we'll forget that there's heaven and hell. Oh, really? I've forgotten about that. No, it's not that. But the significance of that is what we might forget or neglect. We always need reminding of the significance of things. That's why I've got Jill's birthday and our wedding anniversary in my Google Calendar. Don't want to forget it. Think of all the celebrations we have throughout the year that remind us of important events and their significance. I thought of one, particularly perhaps one of the biggest ones in the secular calendar anyway, is Anzac Day. It's not that Anzac Day is just an event, a holiday, and, you know, we just have that day, put it in the 25th of April and we have a day off. No, it's the significance of Anzac Day that's really important, that men and women for a century have been giving their lives that we might live as we do in Australia. It's significant. So never begrudge being reminded of the massive significance of the gospel for our lives. And pray that Craig and Amanda will find good and interesting words to do this fundamental job of reminding, so that we will listen well. That's the first thing, reminding words. Then there's warning words, verse 14. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It's of no value and only ruins those who listen. Timothy was instructed to warn his people before God. Now that's pretty solemn and serious, both for Timothy and for his hearers. It's the role of the gospel worker to warn his listeners. That's us. A few verses later, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul tells Timothy to, now, if you know the verse, I want you to say it. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be fully equipped for every good work. The Bible is that which equips thoroughly the servant of God, God's gospel worker, for us, for every good work. Timothy's job is to warn, rebuke, correct his people, no doubt in both publicly in sermons, but also in private. Now, do you like being rebuked, corrected, confronted? I don't. But we must be humble enough to accept it, be willing to accept it. Warning words from our pastors. And in this verse we see what the particular warning is about. What is it about? It's about, can you see? Warn them about quarrelling. Quarrelling about words. I'm not quite sure exactly what that means, but the general idea is clear. Arguing over things which are of lesser importance in the Christian life. We might call them petty words. What you say may be right, but it's really of little consequence, of no value. It would be better left unsaid. This quarrelling causes upsets and dissensions and dissatisfactions. It ruins people. It's tragic. And it distracts us from the more important matters of the Christian life, gospel matters. There's a great little saying that I think we should all keep in mind. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what we must be doing as a church and individuals, as Christians, and it's the gospel that's the main thing. Let's not quarrel about secondary matters, unimportant things. Then in verse 15 we've got what I've called God's truth words. Have a look at your sheet and verse 15. It says there, do your best, and this was told us earlier with Amanda, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Timothy needs to strive to be a God-approved worker, unashamed before God, because he's handling God's word correctly. That means he understands, he applies, and he communicates God's word to the people. Now, I'm going to indulge in some shameless promotion. I had thought of wearing a particular shirt today, but it would have been distracting. But Jill said she'd wear it instead. She is wearing beautifully, of course. She is wearing the MMTC T-shirt, Myanmar Ministry Training Centre shirt. I could not resist the temptation to actually show you that and show you the motto, which says, can you read it? Handling Thank you. The motto for the Ministry Training Centre is this verse. Handling God's word correctly for life and ministry in all Myanmar. Thanks. Thank you. My visual aid is the word I'm thinking of. Indeed. That's what Paul was telling Timothy to do. And that's what we are helping these young men and women in Myanmar to be able to do, our trainees there. Handling God's word correctly for life and ministry in all Myanmar. That is what, in Myanmar, here too. That's what Craig and Amanda have to do. That is what we are all to do as we speak to one another. God's gospel workers are to handle the word correctly. Did you notice in the Bible reading that Joan read earlier from Nehemiah, it said, after all those names, that it said they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people understood what was being said. What was their response when they understood it? They cried. They realised that they had been sinful, that they weren't obeying God's word. They cried when they understood it. And Ezra and Nehemiah said, don't cry. God is here. He's speaking to us. This is a day for us to rejoice that we are hearing and we are responding rightly to God's word. That's what Paul is instructing Timothy to do the hard work of ministry. That is why we must pray for Craig and Amanda. That is why they spend hours and hours preparing their sermons and talks for both us and the young people. It's the unseen work that feeds us spiritual food each week. They're slaving away in the kitchen to present us the lovely food, the meal, week by week by week. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Without God's word fed to us, you and I will grow spiritually sick or even die. There's nothing more important for the health and well-being of you and me and of St. Peter's generally than to hear God's words spoken to us week by week. And when that is done, well, these guys and we, if we're involved in it, will be God-approved workers, unashamed. That's God's truth words, but the next one you'll see is the devil's lies words. Verse 16, let me read that for you. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. That's death. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some. This is the opposite of what Paul has just said Timothy must be. They're death words, gangrenous words. And they're from the devil, as you will say later on in the passage. What do you think is the devil's greatest weapon here on earth? Deception, lies. The devil murders people with his lies. That's what Jesus says. That's a great verse you might like to write down if you can remember it. John 8:44. It is very powerful. It's false teaching. It's the devil's main work, as it was from the beginning with Adam and Eve. He speaks lies. Let me just stop for a moment and ask you to think. Who are you listening to? Who's influencing you? Is God's word more important to you than the news, your Facebook feed, Instagram or TikTok, if you're into that, TV, radio? Paul tells Timothy to avoid godless chatter. Don't listen to it. Don't indulge in it. And that's got to be the case for us as well. The devil speaks lies. Now I'm going to skip over verses 19 to 22 so that we can focus on more words. The next set is in verse 23, foolish words. Paul says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. Don't argue over silly, stupid things. Don't spend your time and energies debating unimportant matters. And it's a trap for us all to avoid because most of us have hobby horses, don't we? It might be theological hobby horses, political hobby horses, or maybe simply a passion of certain issues. I'm not going to mention mine to you because I'll start an argument. We can start arguments and we can join arguments, and Paul says have nothing to do with them. Now, of course, it needs wisdom to decide what is foolish and stupid. And sometimes foolish and stupid arguments and teachings do need rebuking and correcting, as we heard earlier. So we need wisdom. And Paul realises that we need to handle this with care. So he says in the next verse, verse 24, Timothy, use, I'll put them all together, kind, gentle, instructive words. The way you speak it is important. Let me read verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be, what is it? Kind to everyone, able to teach. He's got to be skillful in that. Not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed. What's the purpose of this? The rest of the verse tells us. In the hope that God, will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. The devil has spoken lies, and Timothy and our leaders and pastors and gospel workers need to speak well to us. He's to be kind. Timothy's to be kind and gentle and use instructive words. He's to long for people to repent and to grow towards Jesus. He's to speak the truth in love. And shouldn't we all? So the question comes to me anyway as I was thinking about this. Are we more concerned about getting our point across to others than actually listening to them and wanting to engage helpfully with them? Or do we jump in to a conversation to say what we know is true. Timothy is to be kind and gentle as he instructs. And Timothy is not to be resentful. He's not to get angry or annoyed when people disagree with him. This is to be his and our default position. Sometimes there are times when we need to jump in or rebuke or get angry, even like Jesus did. But our default position, that which is normal, is to be kind and gentle and instructive. Okay, we're coming close to the end, you'll be glad to know. Please have a look at those words again. Is there an item or two in that list that you or me need to take on board in our lives and change or to work on? Maybe you're a formal or informal Bible teacher. Is there something for you in that? Or maybe you indulge sometimes in petty arguments. Are you somewhat proud, not willing to take a rebuke or be warned? Are you quick to speak and slow to listen, as James says we shouldn't be? Are we really slow to really listen to the other person? Well, what's the take-home message for us in all of this? First of all, know what God approves of. Take on board what he has told us today. It's easy to leave church and forget, easy to get distracted by life. But we'll be called to account by God for our words. Pray for our words in our gospel workers. Pray for Craig and Amanda, all our pastors and teachers in whatever church. Pray that they'll be unashamed, God approved, for the benefit of us all. And pray for ourselves, for you. Pray that you will understand, apply, and speak God's word correctly to others. So know what it is that God approves of that we've been thinking about. Think about it. Pray for our leaders and ourselves. Repent. Take personal action to change if in some way this morning you've been said, well, yes, I need to change there or grow there. And finally, and I haven't said this up to now, it's not actually in our passage, but it stands over our passage, be strong in God's grace. There is a verse that stands over this passage like Coolangatta stands over Shoalhaven Heads, like Canberwarra Mountain stands over Canberwarra. It overshadows everything we say and do. It inspires our Christian life and keeps us going and growing. What is that verse? It's verse 1 of this chapter. It's at the beginning. It stands over it, and it's this. You then, my son, Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Boy, we need grace every moment of our lives, whether we're doing good or bad, we need God's grace. And that grace is not an airy-fairy thing. It is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who gave his life that you and I could live, not just in eternity, but now, every day. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've thought about our words and what you approve of. We've thought about what we are to avoid, about what we can grow in and what we might need to repent of. We pray for your Holy Spirit to help us in this. We pray for Craig and Amanda that you would help them as they have the weighty responsibility of feeding us your word week by week. Please help us to make their task a joy and not a burden. And we thank you most of all for your amazing grace that we have experienced in Jesus. And we pray it all in his name. Amen.